Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm excited and privileged to be before you this morning and sharing the word of faith and power, truth and verity. And just before I speak, I'd like to start off with a portion of scripture. Acts in chapter 4, verse 12. I guess, friends, I came simply to say this morning that it is all about Jesus. Amen. From start to finish. And so in spite of all that I say, let it be Jesus that redounds in your heart. Nothing else and no one else. Father, I thank you for this time. Thank you for your word, which is quick and active. Thank you, Lord, because the entrance of your word brings light and understanding to our hearts. Thank you, Father, for the truth of your word and for the gift of your son, Jesus. A gift too marvelous to describe with words, your indescribable gift. Thank you for your power and presence in this room, in this auditorium this morning. Thank you, Father, for ears to hear and hearts to receive. To your praise and glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Acts in chapter 4, verse 12. Peter speaking, put it quite succinctly in the best way possible that I've found. Concerning Jesus, he said, neither is there salvation found in any other. For there is no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved but the name of Jesus. And so it's in order to say happy resurrection day. But I would that you all know, as we ought, that in truth, this is not something to carve out the day and set apart a day to say, okay, on this day, we celebrate Jesus, or we choose to preach the cross, or we choose to celebrate, and thank God for House on the Rock, we preach Christ and him crucified, and all that has accrued to us as his children on the basis of that awesome, phenomenal, perfect sacrifice. Amen. Amen. And so, I'll go with a portion of scripture that has underpinned my life and my walking in God and ministry, which you find in 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, verse 2. If you have time, you may turn there, but that's okay. Paul speaking, it says, and when I came to you, brethren, when I came unto you, it says, I came not with the excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. So God has a testimony. Yes. He told those at Corinth, he said, when I came to you, I didn't come with high-sounding words or, you know, to be impressive or anything of such nature. not with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declared unto you the testimony of God. It says, for I determined not to know anything amongst you except, someone say except, except Christ Jesus and him crucified. The heart of the Father. Friends, this is the gospel in its, I don't want to use the word simplest form, but just clearly in the most succinct, pristine, clear manner. This is what underpins the gospel, the testimony of God, Christ and him crucified. I choose to know, he said, I chose to not discuss or get to know anything else but that singular message. Why is that important? When we talk about Christ and him crucified, someone might ask, oh, but what about his resurrection? That is subsumed in that. That is implied in that, because later on in the book, in chapter 15, when he went to describe the gospel that he preached to them, and this is it in simple form, he says, I handed over to you in the first instance that which I received. What was it? How that Christ died in accordance with the scriptures, and that he was buried. He died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. That's clear. And that he was buried. And that the third day he did what? He rose again in accordance with the scriptures. Friends, here's my heart. Here's my thinking. Here's my conclusion in my walk with the Lord. This message of the cross, to my mind, is the single most powerful message in the whole world. Yes. Something that underpins this message, that characterizes this message, is power, or power, as you choose to have it. But the gospel is the power of God to what? To save. That self-same message. And friends, I've been through the Word, looked through scriptures, and I found that in the book of Acts, this was the message that the apostles preached all over. And in their ministry, in their propagating the gospel, in their sharing, in their teaching of Christ and him crucified, power showed brightly in their ministry. God gave backing to his word with signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Spirit in accordance with his will. At the preaching of the gospel, at the preaching of the cross, at the preaching of Christ. This was the self-same message that Paul, all through his life, his walk, labored in. And once he met the Lord, guess what, friends? Game changer. He preached, he went nonstop from city to city with vim, vigor, zest, vitality, even in the midst of persecution, in beatings often, in stripes, and opposition of men, opposition of brothers, brethren, falsely so called as well. But he did it with joy. And with glee and gladness in his heart. I believe that this self-same message is critical and crucial for the move of God in our time, in the here and now, for where we are in the world. If there's going to be change, if there's going to be impact, if there's going to be an outflow of the miraculous and the move we keep talking about, I believe strongly that this message is essential, is crucial.
Amen.
To that outworking. And it will be a good thing, it will be great for each and every one of us to be rooted and grounded in the truth of the gospel and that sacrifice.
Amen.
What it means, what it represented, the import, for us to verily see the impact in our lives. Where does the church or the body of Christ stand in relation to this message? And when I say church, I mean not this body, but the body of Christ. Is this something, is this a message concerning Jesus to be whipped out on a day like this or in a season according to times? Create a season for that. I'm talking about constantly. For to see the power of God manifested in this times that we're in.
Amen.
With everything that's going on in the world. Can I share something with you this morning? My heart is that we don't get sidetracked. Because even in the body of Christ, beyond all that's going on in the world, there are things that are being said, and we've been to the awesome classes we've been having the past couple of weeks as far as movements and things of that nature. There are movements even within, notice I'm making the quote sign, within the body that tried to deflect, take away, strip off from the authenticity and the efficacy of one, the selfsame word and the sacrifice of Jesus. And it's a good thing that our hearts be established with truth and not be swayed in subtle ways and subtle manners. Without spending, I hope not to spend too much time on that, but anyone heard about progressive Christianity, for an example? Or deconstruction of faith and things of that nature, whereby things most surely believed, expressed, expertly set forth in scriptures are questioned, challenged, the atonement is questioned, the substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus, that he took your place, that he died for you and for me, that he took your place, my place on the cross, is questioned. Why would a loving God kill his son, sacrifice his son, just to be able to save you, save me? Thought he was a God of love. Oh, he thrives on blood? And then they give nomenclature or titles to God in different ways or forms that ought not to be mentioned on the lips of someone who is a Christian or professes to be a disciple of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Sin is not sin, it's relative. So Genesis 3, the fall, and how that, imputed sin and all of that doesn't count. All of that doesn't exist. What happened in Genesis 3? Oh, it was shame. And that was it. It wasn't sin. All of this lines of reasonings and questionings just to be able to come to the point that, the sacrifice, don't worry about it. You know the implication of that, friends? That means we might as well take the book, the Bible, New Testament, all that Paul said, all that Peter said, all that the apostles said, and guess what? As they say, you know, back in London, just rip it up and chuck it. Just chuck it. Might as well just chuck it. Might as well just take the book and throw it out. If we begin to question who Jesus is or the price that he paid in full. And so Hebrews in chapter 2, verse 1. There's a short warning there. It says, but we must, I will that we must take the more earnest heed to the things which we have what? Heard. Things which are heard, or things which, in this case, which we have learned. Lest at any time, what happens? It slips away from us, or we drift away from the truth. Why did I raise that? By the way, I titled this, The Divine Access. Why did I say all of that? Because do you know that Jesus is the way? Is Jesus the only way? Why is Jesus the only way? How is Jesus the only way? What about? This may come a little closer home if, for example, you know, you're in faith, but what about those of your family? What about your friends? What about your spouse? What about your kids? If they're into something else, another worldview or religious, you know, whatever it is, do you know the truth? So that it wouldn't come down to sentiments or, do you love them? Yes. But we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. And the truth is Jesus. The truth is in Jesus Christ. And thank God till tomorrow and forever. 2 Timothy 3:16 rings true. All what? Scripture. Is what? God breathed, the version says, and is profitable for what? Doctrine or for teaching. Our version says for teaching of truth. Is inspired by God himself. And so, thanks for the response. We go by his word. Because till tomorrow, God, Numbers 23:19, is not a man that he should lie. Neither is he the son of man that he should what? Repent or change his mind. He does not shift like shifting shadows. It's not one thing today, another thing tomorrow. Or Jesus is the only way and someday, somehow, another way. No, sir. Let's do away with some of the constructs. Don't allow it. Give it no room in your mind or in your thinking. Why the cross? An assignment. Pastor Jim shared this, read this morning. Isaiah in chapter 53. Please go over that portion of scripture. Meditate on it. Stew on it. Camp there for a season. Not just one day, 2 days. Whatever. Camp there for a season. Ask Holy Spirit. Lord, just expose this. What he did. The why of that great, awesome, perfect sacrifice. Chapter 53, verse 4. You may turn there, please. I want us to go in there. I want to show a few things. Why the cross? Bible says in verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs, which is the word in the Hebrew, the word griefs in the Hebrew is the word sicknesses. So surely he has borne our griefs, our sicknesses, and carried our sorrows. That's the word pains in the Hebrew. So Jesus bore our sicknesses, and he carried what? Our sorrows. And that's the Hebrew word for the word pains, both physical and mental. Both physical and mental. He carried it. And he carried our sorrows, our pains, physical and mental. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised or crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace, our shalom, was upon him. That word peace there in the Hebrew is the self-same word that means completeness. It's the self-same word that means wholeness in body. It's the self-same word that means welfare. It's the self-same word that means prosperity. It's the self-same word that means healing health. So, what he carried and for cause. It says the chastisement for our peace, for our shalom, was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. That word stripes in the Hebrew, for the word in the Hebrew, it's singular in nature. It's singular. And so it wasn't just a case, for example, of, oh, let's brutalize him, let's, you know, 40 save one stripes and deal with him, make sure he's bloodied and everything, and then just, as it were, release him, and then he just walks off. Okay, you got the message? You're no longer the savior, now go. No, something happened. Something happened. When he talks about stripes, with that image, with that picture in your mind, it also clearly implicates his what? His death. Because he died. Yes. And not for anything that he did. As we read through just now, who was he wounded for? Whose transgressions did he bear? Or did he, you know, I mean, did he pay for? The chastisement for our peace was upon him. By his stripes, we are healed. Here's a commentary in verse 6. That's how I see this. Just a picture. All we like sheep have what? Gone astray. Says we have turned everyone to his own way. And here's God's, here's God's response. And the Lord, someone say the Lord, has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Says God laid on him the iniquity of us all. Verse 9. Let's skip because of time. The second B part, the latter part of verse 9. So that you can understand his own character in this. He had done no violence. That is the word, no wrong. Nor was any deceit in his mouth. Verse 10. Yet it pleased who? The Lord. To what? To bruise him. It pleased the Lord to crush him. For who? On whose behalf? He has put him to grief. What's for purpose, friends? Well, it's for good reason. And so, when we think about John 3:16 and how popular that may be and all of that, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He didn't just give Jesus so that, the sense there is he just gave Jesus so that we can look at him and his earthly walk and just say or reach a conclusion, oh, was a good man. Oh, was a great prophet. Oh, he was a powerful prophet and he did miracles and all of that. The giving is what we see that closed out, happened on the cross. Because it says in verse 14, it says the same way as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, this is what? The Son of Man will be what? Lifted up. That whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave him up and laid right there on him the iniquity of us all. Why? In the midst of this bruising, friends, let's note that Jesus, I want us to be assured and to know that Jesus was not an unwilling or unwitting participant. Wasn't coerced, wasn't forced, or anything like that. I'll give you a couple of scriptures to go over. Philippians in chapter 2, 6 through 8. It says briefly, though he was God, he did not cling to his rights or hold on to that as God, but came, humbled himself as a servant, came as a man, and went through, describes what he went through on the cross. Hebrews in chapter 10, 5 through 8, says, sacrifices and burnt offerings you did not desire, it says, but a body you've given me or made me, depending on what version you have. It says, I have come in the volume of the book to do your will, O God, Jesus. In that sacrifice, it was God's will. I have the power to lay down my life and to take it up again. That is a commandment. That's what the Father has told me to do. And he did it. What kept him there? If you had a Savior, come down from the cross, save yourself. But love kept him there. Because he loved you. He loves you. And paid the price in full. Why go through all of that? There's only one God and one mediator between God and man. Who's that? Christ Jesus. With that mediation, there was something he had in heart and in view. Let's look at Hebrews 10. Verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say what? His flesh. Just by way of invitation, the writer of the Hebrews said that for those who in the midst were either still undecided or just dancing around the fringes and hearing about Jesus, but still hadn't wholly or fully made a commitment, to my mind. But here's it, friends. It's about access to God. A way had to be made to the Father through redemption, as far as restoring us back to him. And it included the death. It had to be by the death of his son, Jesus. What has that given to us? We talk about salvation. We talk about it as a complete package. We talk about all the wonderful things. But I just want to highlight one or two points. Why the cross? What has accrued to us? What have we received? Where do we find ourselves? Where do we stand in the place of faith? Based on this access, divine access. Who's here saved, born again, you know Jesus? Praise God. You have already entered into that relationship, into that communion, into that oneness, communion with God. You were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. What does that mean? How does the Father view this based on the sacrifice and based on your acceptance by faith in that finished work, in the death and the resurrection of Jesus? How are you viewed? Colossians in chapter 1. I'll skip to verse 21. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. I said a moment ago, and that is by faith. It's by the way we get justified is by believing, by exercising faith in that finished work, in that perfect work of the cross. Verse 21, this includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Verse 22, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence. And you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. So, based on that sacrifice, what did he do to you? How do you see yourself? How do you view yourself in relation to that which occurred on the cross? And your belief and your faith in Christ. You've been brought in to his very presence. And you are holy. Sometimes I come up here and say, let's lift up holy hands. It's based on what he did, friends. And so you can turn to the next man and you can say of yourself, I am holy. Without being scared or afraid. Because you understand the message of the cross and how that he paid the price in full, made you holy, sanctified you, washed you, cleansed you. He made you holy. What can take away my sin? What can take away my sin but the blood of Jesus? And so based on the cross and the finished nature of it and what he gave to us, what has taken our sin? You've been washed. You've been sanctified. You've been justified, made righteous on the basis of what he did. Can we take this to heart? Can we choose to want to understand this and to the impact of it in our lives? It was for purpose, friends, to set us free from sin and the consciousness of guilt and some are still haunted by past failures and errors of omission and commission and held bound in their walk because as it were, as a weight or that which has come by. Getting that sense of, oh, I hurt God. Oh, I disappointed him. Oh, he's giving me this, but this is how, you know, this is what happened and all of that. But guess what? He's washed it. And he paid the price to make you whole, healed. Remember, it says he carried it, our pain, physical and mental. Heart pain, he carried. And you, in turn, are the healed, are the restored, are whole in Christ. You've been forgiven. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 1, 7. Ephesians in chapter 1, verse 7. We have redemption through his blood. We have forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. How do we maximize this divine access? One thing for us to know, we have it. We're in communion with God. We're in relationship with him. We've been ushered in into his presence. How do we take advantage? How do we maximize this? It's for us to realize, as followers of Jesus, as disciples of our Lord Jesus, that there's more. There's more, friends. Wherever we find ourselves in our walk with God and in Christ, there's more. There's more. And friends, this has been the pension or the cry of my heart suddenly since I met the Lord. And I just said now, regardless of where we are, where you are, in your walk with him, there's more. And the scripture I've always held there and I'd like to share is something that I want us to just take to heart and then search out and look at and see. It gets to help you in your walk. Philippians in chapter 3. Philippians in chapter 3, verse 10. In popular portion of scripture by way of translation, it says quite simply that I might what? Know him. That being the posture of your heart. I'm going to read from the Amplified. It says, for my, and I've inscribed this on my Bible and kind of make it like a, it's always before my eyes. And this rings true. For my determined purpose, and so I hope with this today, this will also be your resolve. My determined purpose is that I may what? Know him. That I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him. Perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. And I may in the same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers. Another says, which overflows and is active. And believers. So you're in relationship and fellowship with God and his son Jesus. And the cry of your heart, the cry of my heart, is that I may know him more intimately, more deeply. It's all about Jesus. He lives in you. His power is in you. Ephesians 1:19, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he did what? Which he worked or wrought when he raised Christ Jesus up from the dead. And the import of that, friends, is that the selfsame power that raised him up from the dead does what? Dwells in you. Dwells in you. To know that more. So that, and that goes beyond just the head knowledge or just something academic. But when you get revelation and insight, it is in the place of that koinonia, or in the place of that fellowship, that communion, that results. And so the sense, friends, from the originals is actually experience, to experience that in our lives, in our walk, to experience that power manifest in our lives. What happens when you take advantage of or maximize this divine access that you have in Christ? What happens? And so I'm going to share 1 Peter in chapter 3 from verse 13. If you'll turn there, please. 1 Peter in chapter 3. What happens . This is also part of the how-to. When you maximize that divine access. And as I share this, I want us to also, I sense strongly, this is also a word for our times and the season in which we're in. Because soon enough, friends, certain things will occur that will not only serve to challenge us, but there will be some kind of, we'll be sought to compelled in certain aspects, in certain things that we may not see or may not know now, but things that are coming. And this is how we get set. Our communion with God. 1 Peter in chapter 3, from verse 13. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? 14. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. Verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. In loose terms, I see that as give him special place there out of reverence for him. Seeing him and knowing him as what? Your exceeding and great reward. Your portion and your cup of blessing. God himself as your reward. A special place in your heart. Far above self. Far above things. Far above materials of this life, of this world. Where all those things pale in comparison to the truth of knowing him. Where your heart state is typified by being satisfied with Jesus. And nothing else can fill that space, that place. It says, be ready always to give an answer. Another version says to give a defense. For what? For the hope that is in you. What is that word hope? That joyful and confident expectation or assurance of good in Christ. Because it's not just hope in the world or hoping good things will happen and what. It's in Christ. Based on salvation, which is yours in Him. Be ready to give a defense. To anyone, it says, right? But in the Greek, there's a nuance. That word in the Greek is also the word, there's a nuance, there's a shade of meaning there that also means whatever. So it's not just people that will ask you a reason for the hope that you have in Christ. Situations and circumstances of life. Because it says whatever in the Greek will also ask you, what do you believe? Who do you believe? Why do you believe in Him? How? Is healing there? Is prosperity there? Is wholeness there? Is peace there? That is in salvation, in what you received in Him, in Christ. It says with gentleness and fear, which is the word respect. So let me say this. At the end of the day, friends, concerning persecution or hardship or certain challenges that are to come, here's what I'm saying. It is your relationship with God and your posture in Him, in the place of communion, that is going to drive your stand. That is going to drive your stand and your stance in the face of opposition, in the face of whatever may come. But I have Jesus. And I love Jesus. And Him I preach. Him we preach. Regarding no man. Giving honor to no one else. But Jesus Christ. Getting a handle of on truth. Because there's no other way. Or no other name given to men, mankind, humanity, by which we must be saved. 16, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. Verse 17, for it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Verse 18, which I want to ring in your hearts, not just this morning, not just today, but every day of your life. Verse 18, friends, have this emblazoned on your heart. Have this anchored there, set there. Never forget. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. What was the purpose? To bring us to God. And like Paul, I say, and to be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is according to the law, any such thing, things of the world, the trappings of the world, no, sir. But that which is of righteousness in Christ and by Christ, by faith in Him and His finished work. Yes. Hallelujah. Friends, it's not just a message for today.
That's right.
It's a message to carry. Yes. By lifestyle, by conversation, in speech, in the world. Right. For impact, for change, for transformation in lives. Lives individual and also the world at large. This is the message that gets to transform and change things. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Holly, would you come? Let's all rise, please. I hate to hold us. Christ died for me. Christ died for you. And you have exercised faith in that. And I'm forever grateful for his cross, for his death and resurrection. Words are not enough, Lord, to just give you thanks and praise. Wow. What no other power could do, no other individual person could die to bring about the giving of eternal life and receiving of eternal life and to be partakers of the divine nature of Abba, of God. Father, thank you. I give you praise. What joy, what phenomenal, Lord, to just have access and to be found in you, and we are in you. Thank you, Father, for communion and sweet fellowship. Thank you, Lord, for the boldness which we have because of what Jesus did. Thank you, Lord, for this access. Thank you, Lord, to just causing us to just revel in this, to just live in this, to just, wow, to just bask in the glory of your goodness and your presence in our lives and us in you. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, if you're here and you're still on the fringes, you're still on the sidelines, and you've not come in contact with life eternal, with divine life, with Jesus, you've not accepted him as Lord and Savior over your life in the midst of everything else, all the murk, today's your day. I'd love for you to boldly, Johnny, Joanne, would you come please? Boldly, without fear or trepidation, come forward. Today's your day. Today's the day of salvation. Your life gets changed, transformed beyond words. The impact and the change, friends, you will not be able to list off. Calculate, count off. Come forward. If you're here and you're still laboring some way, somehow, under the guilt of the past, past guilt, pains, hurts, take advantage of this opportunity. Holy Spirit is here. There's healing in this room. You're here and, oh, thank you, Lord. Lafahadoso Sopaligade. You have a need in the area of health, concerning your health concern. I'd love for you to just make bold and just come forward as well. Today's day of rejoicing, and there's just change. There's just an end to that which afflicted you or which caused hurt. It is for freedom that Jesus set us free. And he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Father, thank you. Thank you for your cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you, Lord, for your heart of love and bringing us in. We're forever grateful. We love you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, friends. You are blessed. Have a glorious celebration today, tomorrow, for the rest of your days. In Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God.